Today is the last day of the old year, and therefore we need to say goodbye to this year that we have been familiar with, the year of the goat. So goodbye, and then we are on to the new year. I have started this series of studies on the year of the monkey already, and last week I was over at Butterworth Gospel Hall, and today I'm over here at Burma Road. Well, tomorrow we are going to welcome Chinese New Year, and it is the year of the monkey. Perhaps I may even take opportunity for this morning to wish all of you a blessed New Year, Chinese New Year of the monkey. Next week, I hope to go to Island Gates Gospel Center, and the week following, Sungai Ara, and I'll complete it with a trip to Bukit Mertajam Gospel Center. Right, last year, or still this year, because this is the last day of the year of the ram, we considered it a year ago. And I think many of us realize that 1 year has passed so very quickly. And this year, we already are coming to the year of the monkey. Now, there are a few of you who are monkeys. I'm sorry. You are human beings, but you were born in the year of the monkey. And most probably, if you were born in 1920, 1932, 44, 56, or even 68, 80, 92, 204, then you must be a monkey. And I do not want to ask you to put up your hands if you are a monkey or you were born in the year of the monkey. Because the moment you do so, especially the sisters, they will be very shy to reveal their age. I will know how old you are. You are either 12 years old, or 24, or 36, or 48, or 60 years old, or perhaps older still. So, if you have a child who is going to be born next year, tomorrow, then that year is no more a monkey. He will become a rooster. I'm sorry. I got confused. Monkeys are playing tricks on me for the moment. All right. If anyone born this year, tomorrow onwards, will be a monkey. Will be a monkey. And if that child is to be born the year following, in 2017, January 28th, he will not be anymore a monkey, he will be a rooster. And you will note that the year of the rooster comes in rather early, January 28th next year, rather early. Normally, Chinese New Year will fall on February, but next year, it will be January 28th. And it's so surprising because the rooster is always there to wake us up to greet the dawn of the day. Now, some of you may be wondering, what is this animal all about? Or why am I doing all the study of these animals? Now, these animals are taken from the zodiac, which actually some people say is a circle of life divided into 12 divisions and named by after certain animals. They are actually the relationship between the constellation of planets with the sun. And we are not going into the technical part of it, but just we know that in astronomy there are these divisions. But however, astrology has taken over. Now, know a difference between astronomy and astrology. Astronomy is a study of the stars, whereas astrology is to make use of the position of these stars to tell your fortune. So, if you were born in that particular year, these astrologers will tell you your fortune and so on. Now, we are not into astrology. We are in taking the opportunity of these animals occurring once in 12 years to look into the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about each animal. And therefore, the rooster is part of this zodiac. Those of you who are in the Chinese family, if you are old enough, you have got grandparents and so on, you will be familiar with the Chinese rhyme of the first one. Eat chu, the red, eat chu, di gu, sa ho, and si to, and so on. Alright? So you are familiar with that. But whatever it is, I have been studying this year, the year of these animals, every year since the year 1983. Now that would be 33 years ago. So this is the third cycle I have been studying these animals from the scriptures. However, this is the first cycle where I use PowerPoint. So the message would have been different from years that of the studies that were given earlier. 33 years would be a long time. All these, of course, are in my website if you are interested. Those of you who are familiar with the zodiac from the English version, well, you have all these other symbols. We won't go into that. Right. The next thing we want to know is what the so-called astrologers say about the marks of the monkey. If you are a monkey or born in the year of the monkey, what kind of person would you be? According to them, the fortune tellers, they are witty, intelligent, and have a magnetic personality. Personality traits like mischievousness, curiosity, cleverness make them very naughty. Though they don't have any bad mention, their pranks sometimes hurt the feelings of others. Monkeys are fast learners and crafty opportunists. I'm wondering whether the monkeys here, I mean those born in the year of the monkey, are like that. Something more. They have many interests and need pattern partners who are capable of stimulating them. While some like the eccentric nature of monkeys, some don't trust their sly, ruthless and inquisitive nature. They are clever, creative monkeys, but can't always exhibit their talent properly. Monkeys like to take challenges and they prefer urban life to rural. If you are a monkey, do you think this description marks your life? Well, you should know. Now, this is what we call horoscope, based on astrology, telling what kind of life you will face in the days that lie ahead, based on your birthday and the position of the stars. What does the Bible say about this kind of fortune telling? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, God warned Israel not to be like the pagan nations around. Why? Verse 14. Though these nations you are about to drive out, listen to fortune tellers and diviners, which would include astrology, which would include feng shui. The Lord your God has not permitted you to do this. Now many people, even Christians included, wake up, look at the star paper, look at the horoscope and read what the stars foretell for the day, for their life. Now this is not right. You do not depend on such fortune telling for your life. You need instead to read the Bible. Read the Word of God every morning when you wake up, rather than just the horoscope. Now, let's come now to the study of the monkey. The monkey we know is a mammal. It's a mammal that belongs to the primate group, like monkeys, chimpanzees, baboons, apes, orangutans, gorillas, and so on. Now, all these would be in that group. So, a person Is it just when we talk of monkey, do we refer only to this animal? Sometimes we may refer to a person. When a person behaves like a monkey, and talks like a monkey, and looks like a monkey, we may call him a monkey. And when he runs about and is mischievous like a monkey, especially children, they are often known as monkeys. I know because when I was young, I was called a monkey. My uncle called me Maru in Japanese, because at that time the Japanese occupied the country and we studied Japanese, and he always called me Maru, monkey, monkey. Why? Because I was mischievous and could never keep still. Well, that was this monkey. Well, remember this, you can be like a monkey too if you behave like this. But is it right for a person to be addressed by an animal's name? But the Bible is also clear on this. For example, Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the sheep definitely are no literal sheep, but they are people. And then again we have, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, referring even to the Lord himself in prophecy. We have also in Matthew 7:6, do not give holy things to the dogs. Now surely no one would do that, but if it's to people who behave like dogs. Or cast not pearls before swine. So you find that there is scriptural reason for associating people with animals, and that's what we are going to do as we go on in our study. Monkeys feature a lot in mythology. For example, in Buddhism and Taoism, you have the story of the journey to the West, of how Buddha sent a Buddhist monk to go and get scriptures from the West, India and the West part of China, West of China. Perhaps those interested would like to see this film, this series, because it is coming on our TV tonight at 8:30. All right, whatever it is the story of the Monkey King. Now, when I was young, I worshipped the Monkey King, Kau Tei Teng. I went to the temple, I worshipped the Monkey King. And so, you see, I'm quite familiar with these monkeys, because I was a monkey. All right. Not only Buddhism and Taoism, monkeys feature as deities, as very strong spiritual personnel, but also in Hinduism, you have Hanuman, the Monkey King, being worshipped today even. Then you have in paganism in Egypt, you have God Thoth, who has the headrest of a monkey, of a baboon. And so we find that these people make animals their deities, their gods, their idols. And what does the Bible have to say about this? For though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, forfeited animals, and reptiles. And so we find God is angry with those who worship animals instead of worshipping Him. Right, now comes the monkey in our Bible. This is the study that we are going to do now. Is there a monkey in the Bible? Is there a monkey in the Bible? Can you find the monkey in the Bible? If so, please tell me the book, the chapter and the verse. Those of you who have received my ruminations, if you have read my ruminations, you will know where the monkey can be found in the scriptures. But if you have not, don't answer me. Those who have not received these ruminations, can you tell me where you can find a monkey? Book, chapter and verse. Any idea? No. Alright, you can find it. Have your Bibles open at First Kings chapter 10 verse 22. First Kings chapter 10 verse 22. But you won't find the name monkey, but you will find his family there. The King Solomon had ships of Tarshish at sea with Hiram's fleet. And once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish would arrive bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Apes belong to the monkey family, the primates. So we have the monkey in the Bible. There is a parallel verse to that in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 21. And it reads, "The king's ships kept going to Tarshish with Hiram's servants, and once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish would arrive bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks." Some of you may be wondering why I highlight peacocks. Well, I have a reason. Let's look at the next slide and I'll show you why. As I said, there is a reference to the monkey in 1 Kings 10:22, 2 Chronicles 10:21, only in these two references. Now, if we look at the two references and the Hebrew origin of the Hebrew word, we find that the monkey is actually in the ape. It is the Hebrew word kof. And etymologically, kof may not be Hebrew, but is derived from a Sanskrit kapi, which means swift, nimble, active, the features of a monkey. And in Greek is kapos, long-tailed monkey. And it's likely that this word refers to monkeys or baboons, because no apes have been found in Palestine or adjacent regions. Alright, so it may be a baboon. Not a monkey in its proper sense, but a baboon. Still a primate in the same mammal family of the monkey. Baboons were also well known in Egypt. The god Thoth was, as I pointed out earlier, often represented as a baboon. Right, geographically, we find that these ships of Solomon and Hiram were sent to Tarshish. But where is Tarshish? Tarshish, where many common Bible commentators are not sure. They may be in Spain, Malabar coast of India, or Ceylon. Well, an undefined destination. Whatever it is, we know this, that the ships must have gone a far distance, to a far distant land, because it would take 3 years for the ships to go and return to find the monkeys. Right. Next, we look at the word peacock. Peacock in Hebrew is tokiim. And etymologically, the Hebrew word is similar to an Egyptian word for monkey. And this is proved in the archaeological expeditions to Somaliland, where they have found existence of monkeys there. In fact, J.B. Phillips and the NIV, if you are using the NIV there, you can see that it translates not peacocks as in the King James Version, but baboons. And the New English Bible translates it as monkeys. And so we have the monkeys in Scripture. This is from NIV. "Once every 3 years, it returned carrying gold, silver, and ivory, and apes and baboons." So I am right to say that there are monkeys or their family in the Scriptures. Historically also, you can prove that, because monkeys were given as tributes to an Assyrian king. So it is not something strange for baboons to be given to King Solomon, although, as we find this, shall find later on, it is indeed strange. Right, so the monkeys as gift to the monarch. Let's study this verse now. The verse that I've given to you in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles. Right, the monkeys, number one, were periodic gifts, given regularly every 3 years. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 22. The ships will go out and will search for monkeys and will bring them back as gifts to King Solomon. The search for live monkeys. Just a comment here. What lesson does it teach us? 3 years, the ships will go out, search for these monkeys and bring them back. And we know that, for example, in Matthew 12:42, there was a man greater than Solomon, and he was none other than Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth, and he also started to search for monkeys. But who could lust these monkeys? They are the lost sinners. Remember, we can use animal names for people. And therefore, as Solomon searched for live monkeys, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Right. Now, listen to his last words. When he was about to leave this earth, he gave the last commission to his disciples. Go ye into all the world. Now that would be his last words. Go to Tarshish, so to speak, and preach the gospel, bringing lost sinners, bringing the live monkeys to the king. And also to individuals, he gave the instruction, be ye witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judah, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the commission to each one of us is this. Even as we learn about Solomon sending his ships out to Tarshish to find monkeys, we have a responsibility to listen to the words of the one greater than King Solomon. And he says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and bring in, of course, the lost sinners. But to do so, we must have a strategy. We must have a strategy, as Solomon did. What strategy did he have? Firstly, he needed a plan. A plan. He had the navy ready. He had the people ready. He had the provisions ready to send them out and to know where to send them out. So he had a plan and established a navy. King Solomon made a navy of ships. So for those of us who are interested, for the church, particularly here, to be interested in reaching out to the unsaved, then we need to make a plan. We need to set up our people, our provisions, and perhaps even to have a new alliance with Hiram's navy, so to speak, with those all who have the same mind of reaching out. Let us join together and reach out to save lost sinners. But I'd like you to note this. While there were those people who were in the navy and who went out, what about those who remained behind? We read in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 25 that those who remained behind, they brought their gifts also to the king. Every year they brought their gifts to provide, to make provisions for those who had gone out in the navies. And so let us remember, all of us are involved in the search for monkeys, lost monkeys, life sinners, lost sinners. We need the people to go out, and we need the people to support those who stay behind to bring about the provisions for these people who go out. So look at the sacrifice and the search for live monkeys in chapter 10 verse 22-25. They brought along their golden vessels. They brought along their silver. They brought along their spices. And they gave in order that the people who went out might be provided for. And so it is necessary when we send out these missionaries, we must support them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5, we see a good example of how the Christians in Corinth were motivated to give of the utmost. More about that later, in order to help the poor. Right, so we see the monkeys were periodic gifts. The monkeys were also peculiar but precious gifts. Now, why should King Solomon want monkeys? Now, perhaps it was to add on to his museum, to add on to his keeping of exotic animals from various places. I don't know. But the point is, these monkeys must be very peculiar. They were particularized. the navies went out and they brought in apes and monkeys, specially mentioned. Why? Because they are very particular, they are very precious, they are peculiar in a sense. And just like what we were meditating this morning, before we became children of God, what were we before? We were indeed strange gifts for the Lord Jesus. Why? We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We now are a peculiar and precious people unto Him. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a holy priesthood, a peculiar people unto the Lord. And so we are that special. And that's why the monkeys were particularly peculiar and precious gifts to the King. May we become like that as we approach the King. They were special gifts to the King too. Why special? The search for them took 2 navies to 3 years, involving much sacrifice. Now, you compare that to what I was mentioning just now to the Christians in Macedonia, in 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5. You compare that. First, they gave in abundant ecstasy, overflowing with joy. They gave out of their deep poverty, extreme poverty they gave. They gave out of their liberality. You were very generous. They gave beyond their power and their ability. And they even begged, please accept whatever we would like to give. Now that was the spirit of sacrifice of these people. And may we be able to become mission-minded believers. Not only send out people into the mission field, but supporting them. And we are indeed happy to mention just now that you took up an offering for the OA work. There are those people who have gone out to do ministry among the OAs to bring in, as it were, lost monkeys. Monkeys for the King. And you are a part of it when you put that money, whatever it is, into the bag, and it will go to serve the missionaries, the navies who are out there in the OA, to do the OA work. They gave, but first, of course, they gave themselves to the Lord in priority. No point sacrificing money if you are not prepared to sacrifice yourself. So, what have we learned? We have learned up to now at this stage, the monkey, the mammal, the monkey in mythology, the monkey in the Bible, the monkeys a gift to the monarch, and also the monkeys were periodic gifts, the monkeys were peculiar but precious gifts, and there's one thing more. The monkeys were only part of other gifts. Apart from monkeys and apes, we find that the navies also brought back other gifts for King Solomon. What were they? Other gifts were given every 3 years as they were brought back by the navies. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once every 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver and ivory. 3 other things were brought in. Gold, silver and ivory. What can we learn from there? Well, gold. Firstly, gold was brought in. I'd like to emphasize this, as I shall point out later on. This gold that was brought in was extra. Solomon already had gold, but he still wanted to search for more gold. What is the implication? We shall find out later on. Consider the weight of gold that he received every year. Verse 14, chapter 10. Every year the people would bring in gold for him. And the gold would total up to 666 talents of gold. That's about 25 ton, you know. 25 ton of gold given to King Solomon every year by the people. Consider the words used of the gold that he used to make the materials that he wanted to out of gold when he received all this gold. For example, we read that beaten gold was used for 500 shields for his armory. Now, that would be 2,525 pounds of gold. Why did he need to make his shields for his soldiers of gold? Why did he need pure gold to make the vessels that he used to drink from? Why did he need to use the best gold for the throne that he made of ivory? Now, these are things we need to learn and find out why. You see, his throne. In fact, if you read verses 18 to 20, you find a very beautiful of that throne, that description of the throne. The throne was made of ivory, overlaid with gold, and there were six steps leading to it, and then on either side, there were these animals. And on either side of the throne, two lions, all gold. Did he need all this? Did he need all this? All right, let's go on. Silver. He also received silver every year from the citizens. So much so that he would not use the silver. He regarded the silver as the least of all gifts. Silver was continued of little value and ivy. In chapter 10, verse 22. King Solomon received this gift of silver, verse 22, verse 25, to give back to the people. So much so that he did not make anything out of silver in the palace, but he gave it back to the people, so that it says there in that verse that the silver would be like stones on the road. So much silver. He did not use it for his own house vessels. Verse 21, he used it for them. The things which he considered of no value, he gave back to them. Now comes this question. Whether Solomon's search for silver and gold was necessary? Right, let's estimate from scripture. Now, a Bible commentator commented on this. Why did Solomon need 500 shields that required 2,525 pounds of gold to make? Why did he need an ivory throne overlaid with gold? Why must he and his guests drink only from golden vessels? To what purpose were the thousands of horses and chariots be assembled? Why did he need 700 wives and 300 concubines? 1,000 all of them together. He had to spend one night with how many wives and concubines, I do not know. In pursuing each of these goals, Solomon disobeyed the very word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 17 has this to say: neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. He had all the gold that he needed from his citizens. Every year they would bring. Why must he still send out the navies to go and search for this gold and this silver? Now, he was trying to multiply gold and silver, and God could not be happy with that. Last one, ivory. Ivory also was searched for and brought back, and it was used for the king's throne. And later on, King Ahab used ivory not only for his throne, but for all the furniture in his palace, and his whole palace was inlaid with ivory. Now, that was bad. That was in direct disobedience to God's command in multiplying all these material things. If the palace was constructed in arrogance, the display in opulence, and judged later on for disobedience in Amos 3:15. God judged Amos for building that palace inlaid with ivory. It reminds us too that now the Lord gives us spiritual gifts, but these spiritual gifts are not for us to boast about, but for us to use in service for the Lord. Well, whatever it is, In Moses chapter 3, verse 15, oh, I forgot to show you this. During the archaeological digging, the Harvard University excavators discovered Ahab and Jezebel's white house made of ivory. In 1 Kings 22, 39. Amos 3:15, God has this to say, I will smite the winter house and the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, said the Lord, because the king disobeyed God. Walls of Ahab's white house can still be seen in Samaria today, if you go there. Hundreds of fragments of ivories which had once decorated palace walls and furniture were found in the digging there. These ivories, imported from heathen Phoenicia, symbolized for the prophets of Judah the decadent northern kingdom. And therefore, in Amos 6:4, again, God condemned those who lay on ivory couches while ignoring injustice to the poor. And I think it is just a little reminder to us too, isn't it, today, of what is happening in our country, when the big shots can fly about in big VIP planes, when the poor have to suffer. Well, you know, and certainly God's judgment will fall. So the opted gifts were given regularly every year by the citizens, and they gave in the form of tithes and tributes, and we should also be giving in the form of tithes and tributes to our Lord, to the Lord, our King, on the Lord's Day. Alright, let's see what happens. Comparing 1 Kings 10:25 with 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Kings 10:25, year by year, they brought in the gifts. For us, it is the first day of the week. For them, the people, every man must give. For us, let every one of you give. For them, they brought every man. They brought with a purpose. For us, lay by him in store. There is no excuse whatsoever when the bag comes to you that you just have to pass it by. If you have a purpose, you should have a purpose already beforehand to put aside, to put in what you want to put in, so that you just put in and you cannot give the excuse that, oh, I'm not prepared for it. Because everyone needs to be purposeful in our giving. The present, they give to him, to the king, his present. To us, let every man lay by him in store. Let us be ready to give, not just put our hand into the pocket and take out whatever we get out of that pocket. That is not the way to give. The proportion, they gave a certain amount which they decided. And our duty to give as God has prospered him. And so we find that as they gave us a good example of how we ought to give. Now, I come to the end. At the commencement of Solomon's life, God asked Solomon, what do you want? And he said in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, just give me wisdom, that I may be wise to govern the country. I may be wise to judge the people. God was so happy with his request that he did not ask for wealth. He did not ask for any material things. He just asked for wisdom that he may govern God's people well. And God said, in addition to that, I will give you wealth. You did not ask for wealth, but I will give you wealth. You did not ask for honor. I will give you honor so that all the people in the world will know you. You did not ask for longevity. I will give you longevity. I will give you long life. And so God gave him more than he asked for. Seek ye first all these things, and God shall add others to you. All these things shall be added unto you. But put God first. At the conclusion, at the end of his life, what happened? Solomon made the mistakes of multiplication. He multiplied. God said, as a monarch, as a king, he was not to multiply. causes, and we read in 1 Kings 10, 26, 28, 29, Isaiah 31, 1 to 3, the king multiplied horses, went to Egypt to search for horses. You would have had a study on this when I did the study of the horse in some years past. Do not multiply wives. Why must he need to have 700 wives and 300 concubines? Those of you have four wives, difficult to control already. Four wives, difficult to manage. But he would have 700 wives, 300 concubines, official and unofficial wives again. Terrible. Why must he need all these wives? How did he spend his night at home, in the palace? I do not know. He's a monkey. Why? The Lord was very, very firm on this. Do not multiply wives. And we see this recorded of his disobedience in 1 Kings 11, 1 to 4. Silver and gold. Again, why must he multiply his silver and gold? The people had already given him every year the silver and the gold. Why must he go and search for it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Only he would trust the Lord. Why did God give him such a command? So that he would only trust the Lord and not only material things. And we need to learn too as we come to greet this new year of the monkey. Solomon's life experiences after this, from God's viewpoint, were lost years. Now, if you care to read 1 Kings 11, 9 to 13 especially, you will find that because of all this accumulation of materials, God did not regard him at all. So that his last years were not years of harvest of fruit, but rather years of futility. They were the years the locusts have eaten. The mistakes made by the monkey's monarch at the commencement, at the conclusion, and for the current year of the monkey for us, what must we do? Let us avoid multiplying also. Horses. Trust not in horses and chariots, not on the material things. Let us look up to the Lord for help as we go through this year of the monkey. Wives, please, one wife is enough to control. Don't have more than that. Difficult. Love that wife of yours. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And may I emphasize here, Christians, please do not ever get involved in other group that does not allow you to be remain as you are the moment you get a wife from that group. That group will require to join you to join their religion. And once you have done so, you cannot get out anymore. Not at all, unless you are prepared to be punished. Well, we thank the Lord for what we have. But let us not go on a mission just to multiply more wealth and more wealth. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Let us be happy with what the Lord has given us. But it is good to have wealth, because without wealth we cannot do much. But don't make it into a mission just to increase your material wealth, because that will not help. So, at the end, whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? And with this, I conclude. Multiply monkeys, but not horses. Go not to Egypt for horses, but go to Tarshish for monkeys. And let us see that this year, the empty seats in our assembly will be filled up as we make our effort to reach out to Tarshish to bring in the monkeys, the lost souls from outside. Take this opportunity for to wish you all a blessed and fruitful year of the monkey to all, with prayers for many to go up to Tarshish and bring back many live monkeys to be presented to and for the worship of the king this year and the years to follow. And so my wife and I wish you a blessed Chinese New Year. Bye. bountiful and fruitful and prosperous. Just as God blessed Joseph, God said about Joseph that God prospered him in everything that he did. And Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God would prosper Joshua if he was obedient and he would read the word of the Lord. God would prosper him everywhere he would go. And Psalm 1:3, blessed is the man who loves the word and loves God. God will prosper him. So, blessed Chinese New Year to all. And with this, those of you who wanted to take notes but were not able to do so because I was fast, you can always access my notes from my website. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we can spend learning about the monkeys in Thy Word. Lord, they have taught us many things, but we do pray that the things that we learn may be of use to us, so that even as all the Chinese brethren and all others too, as we go through this Chinese New Year, our beginning will be good and our ending will also be good. That we may trust Thee and pay heed to Thy word and not do what we want. We commit ourselves to Thee and all those of our brethren who are traveling now on the highway. Lord, take care of them, bless them, and watch over them wherever they go until they go back to their homes again in a few days' time. Lord, we do pray that Your safety may always be with them. We ask these things, giving Thee thanks in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.